you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, Legit Boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson.
And available wherever fine podcasts are, including CastBox. We've got a great partnership with CastBox. Check out their app. It's free for both Apple products and Android devices.
Oh, I looked this morning and
we were like over 900.
Yeah.
We're on the road to 1,000. We got to get there by Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We need 1,000 comments. This is what you do. You download the CastBox app. It's free.
Yeah.
For all your little mobile devices. You subscribe to Going In Raw.
We're at 948 right now.
And then you leave a comment. And then we're trying to get to 1,000 comments by Money in the Bank. I'm going to look at the comments right now. What
Here's
do you
one
got?
From
you got
Nathaniel. He says, he's a new dad. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Who has an hour commute. Going In Raw helps this hour go by quickly while keeping me endlessly entertained. Thanks, friendo.
That's fantastic. So a new dad, you got two, I got one, and like a ton of stepkids. What's the number one piece of fathering advice that you would give a new dad?
You know what I found really helpful? Just always have baby wipes at your disposal.
That's a good one. You learn that pretty quick.
Yeah.
Mine is simply this. Just keep them alive. That's the most terrifying thing. Keep them alive. You know what I mean? Just keep them alive and you're good. And you're pretty much good. Like if they crap themselves and you're without a wipey, you can find, something.
Some newspaper on the ground or something.
Whatever. Just keep them alive. It's terrifying. Were you like that? Like when you had your first, like, you know, every 5 minutes when they're like brand new and you feel like anything's going to break them.
Yeah.
Put them in a little bassinet or whatever you're using. You're like, where are they? Are they alive? Where are they? Good?
Yeah.
Anyways, let's see here. Oh, crap. I'm gonna read another comment here. Ooh, what a great name. Pavan Sankara says, thanks, friendos, for the great podcast. It is a must for pro wrestling fans. Thanks, friendo. I put Finetto.
Oh, Kevin C. here in chat asked a question that we haven't really finalized our plans for this. He asks, are we live streaming our reactions for TakeOver? We have discussed potentially doing it, but we haven't finalized it.
Yeah, I got to say no. I'm going to say no on that one. I'm kind of, TakeOvers are the one thing. Like, maybe next time. I don't know. Maybe next time. But, like, I'll just shoot that one down.
Yeah.
Let's just enjoy it.
Exactly.
Let's just sit there and enjoy it.
We will be doing Money in the Bank. Starts at 4 p.m.
For sure doing Money in the Bank.
Yes.
Yeah, join us for that live stream. That should be a lot of fun. And then, yeah, we're also here on the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. A bunch of great reward tiers there. You can get this Friendo Care Package here. Look at you get some stickers, a comic book.
An adventure that can only be told in the pages of the comic book. It'd be way too expensive to make a movie out of that.
At least $1 billion. Yeah. You're plunking down.
Yeah.
And then you got to recoup that. Who's going to go see that?
I know.
Then you got a poster that you have to choose. A
couple of jerks like us in a movie.
Idiots.
Come on.
Then a poster with Top Notch on one side, Mechasand on the other hand. So you have to decide what you're going to put up. And then
it's
a postcard.
It's really not much of a decision. You
it's
put
all signed. This
up.
Is the legacy care package. Because it's got the old logo.
All the old logos on it.
I'm in like a bind, man. I don't know. Like I got these made up. These stickers here made up. Those are for something that we'll talk about at a later date in like a week or so. But like I can't really alter the care package because that kind of jacks the people
who
originally plunked down. And then it's like, okay, well, I got to send them out a freaking sticker or something.
No, I think we should keep the legacy
intact the way it is.
Yeah.
Perpetually forever.
Yes, in perpetuity, yes.
Exactly. At some point we're going to have to bring back Top Notch and Super and Mecha Santa.
Uh-huh.
In our gaming stuff.
Oh, well, obviously, yeah.
Because, you know, then people are going to be like, "Who the hell are these guys?"
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's all good stuff.
Well, let's encourage people to check out Fun Wrestling and W Steve W.
Yeah,
those are good times.
They can do that. Speaking of good times, we're going to talk about SmackDown Live.
Yeah, it was a fun show, kind of lightweight. Didn't feel terribly consequential.
Not a huge fan of summits. And they really sold this on the idea of a Money in the Bank women's summit.
You don't like summits? You don't like people getting together, meeting, discussing things?
Mm-mm, no. I don't see the reason. Nothing good ever happens.
I think it's a great term for people getting together and meeting. A summit.
Pretty sure there was like a summit.
You have a hair.
Where is it? What do I got?
Here.
Turn is it to, one of these?
No, it looks like it's over by your ear. And it's long.
Is it my first gray hair? I found that the other day. Terrifying. I don't know how you live with yourself.
That's why I cut my hair off.
How am I doing?
I think you're fine. Oh, it fell on your shirt.
Oh, no. Is it a gypsy hair or is it my hair?
I don't know. It's long.
Anyway,
so it's not your hair.
Money in the Bank. Women's Summit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure there was a summit when, like, you know, the Axis powers were created. They probably had a summit. And they're all bad,
but
you know?
It's like anytime two world leaders meet.
But then there's probably a summit when, like, the Allies got together, too. And they were good.
Yeah. Anytime world leaders meet, I think you could call it a summit.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably not good. It was boring. I don't know.
This particular summit wasn't that interesting.
Yeah, it opened. Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. What have you done for me lately, summit? And that summit last night was terrible. It was so boring. I don't know. You get a bunch of people in the ring, and they start talking, and it's all scripted.
I will give them this, though. This was better than everybody on a ladder to begin Raw. And at least what they were talking about, it was all, you know, they were going back, like Becky Lynch said, you know, the last year or so hasn't been that great for Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to get that briefcase. It was all about, what we say, competition.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And at least for that, I appreciated it.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought it was okay until the Iconics came out.
Yeah, man, we talked about this before the cameras were rolling, mm-hmm. like before even the Patreon pre-show. So I like the Iconics a lot. I think they're good. I think they're good wrestlers. I think they're funny. I feel like they were able to handle their humor, like creative. Their humor came across so much better in NXT because they were doing a lot of those iPhone things. And they're just, you know, they felt like little impromptu found footage short films.
Yeah, they all felt very spontaneous.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And you know, nothing that they're doing on SmackDown is spontaneous.
Right. So they come
out. And they're doing good work with the scripts they're given.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Doesn't translate. You said it exactly right before the camera's rolling. It's not connecting with the audience.
No, there's basically no reaction.
Right. And you don't, that's not what you want. Like, it's kind of X-Pac Heat-ish type. You know, it's like, it's just sort of cringy. Although people did sort of laugh when they were doing the Naomi dance thing.
Yeah, the dance.
People kind of laughed.
Yeah, that was good.
But yeah, it's not really connecting. I don't think it plays to their strengths. And it's like watching a comedian bomb. That's what it's like.
Or at least that's the worry whenever they come to the ring. Because I like their work. I think they're really talented.
Yeah, me
they're
too.
Really good.
Yeah.
And it's not so much that I feel like I'm witnessing that. I worry that's what it's gonna.
Yeah.
That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah. And then it's kind of like the flip side of the Riot Squad a little bit. Like, they get no reaction whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want, you know, you either want people to start booing the crap out of them or you want people to be cheering them. You don't want no reaction.
Yeah. That's, well, I mean, like Iconics, part of the, you know, obviously their thing is they come out and poke fun.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not necessarily mean enough to get heel heat mm-hmm. because they're funny enough to be charming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're just entertaining enough to really get heel heat, I feel like.
Yeah.
But since, you know, you're supposed to boo them because they're obviously supposed to be heels,
mm-hmm.
you can't cheer them either.
Yeah.
And they haven't yet transcended, you know, the heel face spectrum by being, you know, continuously so entertaining because they haven't been around long enough.
They had some goodwill when they came in.
Yeah.
And they kept them off TV for a little while.
Yeah.
And they come out and do this stuff. I mm-hmm. feel like they really need a course correct.
What they really need to do is get a women's tag division.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And have them be the centerpiece.
And I think last night was that's exactly what I was thinking last night during the main event, because the main event ended up being, because then Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville come down, they talk some crap, and then
they said
everybody starts
they
brawling.
They said, you know, the truth of the matter is that everybody who's not in Money in the Bank the ladder match is better than the women who are in it.
Yeah.
And Becky Lynch especially took umbrage with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then brawl ensued. And what I do like, at least, is that what followed wasn't an eight-woman tag match.
Mm-hmm.
They waited and announced that later on.
Yeah.
Because on Raw, that tag match would have happened right away.
Well, no, and I do appreciate that, you know, the final thing that we saw had to do with Asuka and the SmackDown Women's Championship. Mm-hmm. I thought that was fine. But, like, this throws – I am so lost when it comes to predicting Money in the Bank, which is a good thing. I think it's a good thing.
Like, oh, I agree.
I have no idea what's going to happen.
I agree.
And I like that. And we're going to get our whiteboard out and take a look at after this – during this Rusev Samoa Joe thing.
Here, check the stream.
It's in the red. We can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I know.
If the stream goes down, the stream goes down. Sorry, patrons. You guys know the deal, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, moving on. Yeah, everybody brawled, and that set up the main event, which was an eight-woman – actually, a ten-woman.
Ten-woman, because
yeah,
later on.
Stuff happened.
Yeah. Next, there's a quick shot of Daniel Bryan warming up for his match against Shelton Benjamin by doing some jump rope,
mm-hmm.
some stretches, and mm-hmm. then practicing his yes.
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 And yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
What followed was a pretty solid match between Daniel Bryan and Shelton Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Some pretty basic but effective storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Shelton Benjamin was working over Daniel Bryan's knee.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan was starting to work over Shelton Benjamin's knee.
Yes.
And they gave his match a ton of time.
Yeah.
Basic but really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Simple storytelling but effective.
Yeah.
In the end, Daniel Bryan had he had Shelton Benjamin in the yes lock. Shelton reversed into a pinfall roll-up combination. Daniel Bryan kicked out, got Shelton Benjamin in the heel hook, which
yeah.
appears to be his new finisher, which is great.
Yeah.
And Shelton Benjamin tapped out pretty quickly. Heel hook looks like it could legit hurt.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really like this. I thought this was great. I kind of – we have what we have. We're dealing with it. It's fine with this big cast stuff. But, man, why wasn't Daniel Bryan Shelton Benjamin the first feud? That could have put on – that could have been – because there was a little bit of, like, clunkiness in this match. But by and large, they were doing the submission stuff. Like, they were – this was basically a submission match.
Yeah.
They were, like, working that story into it
yeah, yeah.
to play up Daniel Bryan's thing with Big Cass. And I thought it was really, really good. And I was thinking to myself, man, Shelton Benjamin's doing absolutely nothing right now. And he's, like, a decent heel when they're giving him stuff to work with.
And he's a heck of a wrestler.
Oh, and that's the biggest thing. He's a heck of a wrestler.
And so if you have, like, someone that's going to be able to match – sorry, let me interrupt you – Daniel Bryan's technical prowess – you got Shelton Benjamin there. He's a former college wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah. And former member of Suzuki-gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's any number of angles they could have played up with Shelton Benjamin. I understand Big Cass, he's a big guy, and they want, you know, they're trying to make him into this big monster heel type guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's...
His promo last night wasn't bad. I just wish...
It was shorter. That's good.
Yeah.
They had a prop.
Yeah, that always makes it interesting. Not
yeah.
really good or bad, but interesting. I kind of like the first time he was talking about Daniel Bryan, he said he was irritated by Daniel Bryan, not because he was short, but because it reminded Cass of himself before he grew to be 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
He didn't like that version of himself. And ever
yeah.
since then, they've kind of dropped it and just harped on the fact that Daniel Bryan is much shorter than Cass.
Yeah.
And I wish they would come around to that.
Yeah, I know. You're right. They dropped it. And it was like probably the most compelling thing about this.
Yeah.
And then they just dropped it in favor of. And then Daniel Bryan's had the upper hand at pretty much every single turn. Like, he tapped him out super quick at Backlash.
I know.
And then he, like, destroyed his knee. They did, like, a storyline on it. Has there been any situation besides the beatdown at Backlash, like, the post-match after he lost? Has Big Cass stood tall over Daniel Bryan? I mean, he beat up the little
guy.
Oh,
after the qualifier that Joe won, Cass laid into Daniel Bryan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. They had
and that's
the triple
what really sealed
thing.
The deal for having.
Okay, they
tripped.
Yeah.
Money in the Bank.
Okay, but still, like, you know, and then he's totally gonna lose the Money
oh,
in the
yeah.
Bank. Like, that's probably gonna be my number one confidence.
Oh no,
point
Roman Reigns beating Jinder Mahal's number one.
Oh,
point.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I'll have to look at the card. So yeah, there's a couple locks on there, but like the Money in the Bank matches, the women's championship matches, I have no idea.
I know.
Like, both the faces stood tall.
I know.
In the women's segments.
I know.
Asuka and Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, man, but I don't know. I guess I can see Ronda Rousey picking up the title.
Yeah.
I could see that. But Carmella, it feels like she should retain.
I know.
So maybe there'll be a cash-in. I don't know. But then if... Yeah,
but that same thing could have, same thing could hold true for Ronda versus Nia.
Yeah, it could.
You know, someone could cash in.
There's a lot of variables here.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, Shelton Benjamin tapped out. Would have preferred to have seen a feud between him and Daniel. Maybe we'll still get that.
Yeah.
Shelton Benjamin's a hell of a wrestler.
Yeah, he is.
After that, we had Paige doing her Aaron Sorkin-esque West Wing walking thing.
Yeah.
Where she comes across Asuka. And
Asuka wants a match against Carmella tonight on SmackDown. Paige says, can't do that for you tonight, but I can include you and Carmella in this tag match main event, making it a 10-woman tag match. So that's what happens.
Yeah. And then she keeps on walking. She stumbles upon The Miz in a referee's outfit, and she's like, what are you doing? And he starts coming up with an excuse for having a ref's outfit on. He says he's got a movie coming up called Rough Rough Ref, which he plans on winning an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dog movie.
Dog wrestler.
He plays the referee.
Or the dog referee.
Oh, it's a dog referee, and he's the mentor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool premise.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
I actually would watch
that. Wasn't there a movie about a dog wrestler?
Yeah. There's. Yeah, I think they've
pretty much... That's part of the Air Bud series, wasn't it?
Every genre of...
Like,
sports has had a dog movie.
Yeah.
Except maybe hockey?
Oh, I guarantee you there's been...
What do you think it's called?
Well, it's Air Bud. That's what started it all, right?
Yeah.
The basketball playing dog.
Is it all within the Air Bud series?
I don't know.
Films. 1, 2, 3. So World Pup. I'm assuming that's soccer.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was the first Air Bud movie to be filmed without Buddy, the canine star of the first two films.
Oh.
He died.
Oh, that's a bummer. So we have football. Baseball.
Seventh inning fetch.
Yeah, that's baseball.
That's got to be baseball. Spikes back in that. Oh, volleyball.
So
interesting.
To me, the wrestling one isn't part of the Air Bud series.
So they do two. Oh, they did football.
Yeah.
What was the first one was basketball, wasn't
it?
Yeah, first one was basketball. Oh, look at him dunking.
So no hockey, but I'm sure there's got to be a dogs playing hockey movie at some point.
Why is it? Because I Googled hockey dog movie, and it came up immediately with Air Bud. Who gets the dog? Is that the one? What is this? What is this one? No, that just looks like two people arguing.
Oh, Russell Madness. That's what the wrestling dog one was called.
I think Brian Zane did a wrestling with regret on that. Or somebody did something. Russell Madness. That's great. Oh, here's a little video of just a couple of Dachshunds playing hockey.
What'd you call them?
What are they called?
Dachshunds.
Dachshunds, whatever. Look at that.
Oh, that's funny.
He's got little... That's great. Anyways, we got to do like a reaction stream on that or something. Moving on.
You want to talk about dogs playing hockey instead of SmackDown? Tempting, isn't it?
It really is. I think, hey, you know, if nothing else, we might have discovered a niche that hasn't been filled yet.
True.
The hockey dog movie. A lot of hockey fans out there.
Yeah.
Anyways. So anyways, he said he wants to be the guest referee for Rusev Samoa Joe.
Yeah, given what happened last week where they left him in the ring.
And then she let him do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At first she seemed like, nah.
At first she said no. What was the, because I kind of like turned my head for a second.
I didn't understand what the turning point was in the whole thing where Miz would get his way.
Right.
But it happened.
She liked the idea. Apparently she just had to think about it for a second.
Yeah, I guess so.
Next up, Jerry the King Lawler. Came out.
In his hometown of Memphis.
Oh, okay, that's why.
To interview AJ Styles. They're doing this thing again, second week in a row, where someone's getting an interview with their back to the audience.
So I'm
stop doing it.
I'm okay.
Stop doing it. I don't mind.
I minded last week because it was just big cast, like your camera, and he's doing this.
Well, that he went on forever.
He went on forever. That bugged the crap out of me because it just came off like he was lost. He didn't know how to get to the ring. Because sometimes that can be kind of confusing, like, do I go this way? With this, it was an actual, like, I know the first week it was an interview, but Renee Young quickly was off screen. But this was an interview. It was in a different part of the arena. I'm fine with
that. Well, it was on the opposite side of the stage.
It's a different thing. I don't care. Like, it didn't bug me. Well, Cass bugged me because the camera was, like, right here, and he couldn't look at it.
No, what bugs me about the premise, the setup, is that you're out in front of the audience, and yet you're blocking the interview, so in no way can anybody engage with the audience. The audience can't engage with the performers.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose of doing it. That's why they do it in the ring.
Yeah.
And it feels like, I don't know, you might as well just do it backstage.
Less of an opportunity for them to what? Although, ironically, it should be more of an opportunity for them to what?
It's like, what are we doing here?
What did you say?
It's like you have AJ Styles out there doing an interview, but yet everybody in the arena has to look at the Titantron to see what's happening.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. But, you know, I'm sitting there at TV. I'm not there live. What do I care?
I understand.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't bug me. But at the same time, what bugged me was that Money in the Bank is 6 days away. No, 5 days away. And there's not like a confrontation between AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura.
I know.
It's the King interviewing AJ.
I mean, they're both there. How come Nakamura couldn't come out of nowhere in Kinshasa, AJ, during the interview?
Or low blow Lawler.
Or low blow him.
Low blow Lawler. Both of them. That'd be good. Yeah. Bang. Double low blows.
Next, a quick backstage segment with Miz and Danilo the ref.
Uh-huh.
Miz was getting a refresher on the rules and proper protocol about how to referee a match.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which brought us to our next match, Rusev versus Samoa Joe with Miz as a special guest referee.
Yes.
Decent enough match. At one point, Joe inadvertently elbows The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, The Miz doesn't like it. Gets in Joe's face. Joe grabs The Miz's finger. Like
that was a great little moment.
Breaking it.
Because, he just gets it and immediately, it reminds me of, just because I watched Deadwood not too long ago, remember when Bullock grabbed Hurst by the ear?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, took him through the thoroughfare to the jail?
Yeah.
That was great. It reminded me of that. Joe just grabbed his finger, started bending it, and started walking around with The Miz, who couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Which led to Rusev delivering a Machka kick to Samoa Joe. Got the pin, 1-2-3, and he wins.
Aiden English pulls a ladder from under the ring. Rusev attacks Joe with it.
Oh, hold on. Now we're talking about Rusev. Why didn't we not mention this? Where did Lana's accent go last night?
Oh, yeah.
It disappeared.
Completely.
Like, the first thing she said, there was a little remnant of it.
And I think the last three words she said, you could kind of hear it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no
After
accent.
After that, there was no accent.
How come, like, you know, when she first debuted, her accent was pretty solid.
Yeah.
And consistent. And you think the longer she would do it, the better it would get.
Yeah.
It seems the opposite is the case.
I think she's just always been itching to ditch it.
That could be.
I think she's been itching to get rid of it for a while. And then once she showed up on Total Divas, completely absent of it, mm-hmm. and then she's on Instagram live streams all the time, just totally being, what's her name, CJ, something mm-hmm. or another. It's just, I think she's probably just been like, I am so done with this. It doesn't make sense for my character anymore.
It does, because in kayfabe, she's still...
Well, because she's, it totally does,
I mean,
right?
She's from, supposed to be from Russia.
It's the same person, supposedly.
Why'd you steal my pen?
Because you weren't doing anything with it, and I want a bit of business, too.
Well, where's your pen?
You don't get it.
I'm not asking for it. I want you to do bit of business with your pen so I can do bit of business with my pen.
You weren't doing bit of business with the pen.
I feel like my hands were getting, like, sticky or something.
Fine.
Anyways, give me my pen back. Anyways, so Aiden English pulls the ladder out from underneath the ring. Rusev hits Joe with it. Rusev starts to scale the ladder
mm-hmm.
to get that briefcase. Mm-hmm. Miz pulls him off, skull-crushing finale.
Mm-hmm.
Miz scales the ladder,
yeah.
grabs that Money in the Bank briefcase, and he goes to commentary and says, you know what's in here? You know what's in here? It's a contract, so I can be champion. Byron Saxton opens up the briefcase, and inside is not a contract.
No.
It is pancakes.
Yeah,
you cut backstage, New Day, laughing hysterically.
Well, I also appreciate that Byron started laughing at The Miz, too.
Yeah.
And The Miz was doing a great, New Day!
Yeah.
Like a sort of a Kurt Kahn thing.
Yeah.
And then you cut to the backstage, and these fools are cracking up in the most ridiculously over-the-top manner. And for some goddamn reason, just because it's funny, Xavier and
Kofi...
are wearing they're in the same shirt.
Yeah.
You've got, and the way the camera's positioned, I mean, Xavier's a pretty buff dude anyways, compared to most people, but like the camera is like, it makes his arm look ridiculously buff.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, Kofi's arm is ridiculously skinny because he's like a really thin guy. And it's just, oh God, it was, and Big E has a bowl of batter.
Oh, it was great.
It was amazing. It was hilarious.
But this begs the question, Steve. Who stood tall to end this segment? Because depending on one's perspective, it could be one of three people.
God, it's too tall.
It is very tall. There you go.
There we go. Perfect.
So we have whiteboard here. We have pens.
Where's my blue pen?
I don't know. That's what I was saying to you. You lost your pen.
I lost
my There's pen. A green one. So I'll take... We're going to kind of power rank and then...
I hate that I have to write left-handed. That sucks.
Oh, yeah.
But it kind of makes it funnier.
Advantage me. So on Raw, let's power rank real quick.
Okay.
Money in the Bank winners in the men's match. One has to be Kevin Owens, right?
Okay.
He has yet to stand tall.
Kevin Owens. Okay. But the thing is, here's the problem.
It's really potent.
Here's the problem. He had a Money in the Bank moment. He launched himself off that ladder this week.
I don't think it counts because it wasn't in the ring.
onto Braun Strowman.
And he did not touch the briefcase. Well, I don't necessarily think that's a full-fledged Money in the Bank moment. If this was November and they happened to have a ladder match, he would have done the same thing. It would not. No, Kevin Owens.
Well, who's number two then? No, it can't be Bob Roode.
He has yet to stand tall. He hasn't had any moment.
The problem is, when Vince wakes up in the morning, this is Vince's face. He's all old now, so he has like a lot of wrinkles. There's his Vince hair.
This is kind of awkward to write that way.
He's not good with Bobby Roode. Vince will never wake up.
I'm taking this out of the equation. For now, I'm playing the algorithm strictly.
He's the thing that matters.
But you can't predict the mind of a fickle old man.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just playing the algorithm. I'm just using the information presented to me based on the writing of creative. So in that sense, Roode has to be number two.
Okay.
Even though he hasn't done anything.
Okay.
KO 1, Roode 2, Braun 3, Finn is basically out of the equation entirely in my mind because he had the coup de grace off the ladder. Plus, he held the briefcase. That is literally his Money in the Bank moment.
Okay, but here's the thing, dude. You cannot ignore this. He might wake up one day.
Listen to me. When we do our predictions later today and I make my prediction, I will account for Vince. Right now, my criteria is strictly what we have seen on TV.
This guy should be number two.
No, Bobby Roode's number two based on my career. You have your whole SmackDown thing. You can do however you want.
So this isn't a collaboration?
No, this is my side of the board.
Fine. One. This is tricky.
Because we have to discuss who stood tall. That's not how you spell who. Who, gosh, it's hard to write this way. Stood.
At least you get your right hand.
Tall to end this Miz, Rusev, Samoa Joe
stood
segment.
Stud.
Rusev
tall.
Wins the match. However, stud TL. Rusev wins the match. However, Miz delivers a skull-crushing finale. So he stood tall, but...
Hold on a second. Why are you talking right now?
Because you were scribbling stuff
I'm
like a madman.
SmackDown Live.
I'm laying things out for
Hush.
People.
You know why Rusev is number four? Do you know why Rusev is number four?
Because of Vince.
Because Vince McMahon will never wake up and say, let's put Money in the Bank on Rusev. That's why he's number four, because that's why I'm right. Number one is gotta be, even though I don't think they're gonna win, the new
But
day.
You can make the argument they stood tall to end the segment last night, and whoever stands tall in the go-home show does not win.
But listen, the problem here is Samoa Joe. No, I'll put Joe number three. Samoa Joe didn't stand tall. No, actually, Joe's here. Samoa Joe lost last night in the go-home.
Yes.
The problem is he touched the briefcase.
He had a briefcase moment two or 3 weeks ago.
Last night,
The Miz touched the briefcase. Here. It's right there.
Last night, The Miz touched the briefcase. And granted, even though The New Day touched the contract to get those pancakes,
well, they had
in
to
there,
touch the briefcase to touch the contract.
It's not, yeah, but yeah. That's
but I think,
true.
I think,
but it's off camera. It has
think,
to be on
but
camera.
I think, put that aside, you can make the argument that they were the ones who stood tall last night pulling that prank on The Miz. So even though The Miz held the briefcase, in the end, inside the briefcase isn't the contract. It's not what he thought it was. It was a briefcase full of pancakes. So while he pulled the briefcase down, he held the briefcase. It was not, technically speaking, the Money in the Bank briefcase, even though it was labeled as such because it was full of pancakes. It was a pancake briefcase.
And that's why here's your Money in the Bank winner.
Still think it's The Miz, huh?
It's going to be The Miz. They're going to do a Daniel Bryan Miz thing around the championship. It's going to be The Miz. We solved it, Larson. Well done, us.
We still have predictions to do later today.
There's my eraser now.
You threw it on the ground, probably. So.
Oh, it's right there. That's weird. How did it end up over here?
Because you put it down and, like, threw it.
Good job, me. Anyways. Moving on.
Next, we had a pretty solid match between Jeff Hardy and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Time they ever fought.
You can definitely tell Allegedly. Jeff Hardy is hurt, and it's uncomfortable to watch him wrestle at times because it looks like his knee's about to give it out at any moment.
I love Jeff Hardy, but they couldn't be doing less with that United States Championship right now. Why isn't he in the Money in the Bank, and why doesn't somebody else have that United States Championship?
Or why isn't he defending the United States Championship at Money in the Bank?
Give it to Shelton Benjamin. Let him do something with it. Anyways, Hardy hits a Swanton.
Earlier on, it looked like
it was a decent match.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. His back gave out or something because Nakamura started attacking it. between his knee and his lower back.
His
torso
got red really quick.
Yeah. So, yeah, towards the end, Hardy hits Swanton. He sells the back injury. He's delayed in getting over the pin.
Mm-hmm.
Nakamura gets his foot on the bottom rope at two. And then Nakamura reverses a twist of fate straight into a low blow.
Mm-hmm.
Hardy wins by DQ, but he eats a Kinshasa after the bell rings.
Yeah.
Nakamura stands tall.
There is a good point that some people here in the Patreon chat are talking about. The entire affair with the New Day, even though I agree with your point that they technically stood tall, they could have done the entire thing without touching the briefcase because they have Booty's worth.
Mm-hmm.
They could have instructed him to do it all out of sight, therefore not touching or even coming into contact visually.
I don't think, part of the reason I think Braun is not going to win is because he stood tall every moment possible.
So here's my thing about Braun. I might still pick Braun to win the entire thing because I think right now it's kind of undeniable that Vince is going to do everything with Braun.
I feel like we should be saving this for the Money in the Bank predictions video.
This is a preview for the predictions. Right. Vince is doing everything with Braun except giving him the Roman push. He won the Greatest Rumble. He kicked out of three finishers the other night. And he's obviously the most over thing in WWE right now. So I kind of feel like Vince, and on top of that, and Braun wouldn't do an opportunistic cash in. So I don't know. I still might go with Braun, but I might go with The Miz. I don't know. I feel like they might want to do this thing with The Miz and Daniel Bryan, but then they don't really have to. I don't know. It's a mess. Anyways, moving on. Nakamura got DQ'd thanks to a low blow.
Yeah.
Big old low blow. It's good. And then Jeff Hardy ate a Kinshasa. After that, Carmella was in her makeup chair trying to post an Instagram story.
Yeah.
Renee Young rudely comes up to her.
Yeah, this is all really good.
And Carmella says, what are you doing? Get out of my Instagram story.
Carmella's so good.
I like her, man. I think she's hilarious. And Renee Young did like a little interview, says, you're going to be in this match or something, right?
Yeah.
What did she say?
Oh, Carmella wasn't that worried about it because she said yet again, that Charlotte beat Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella's beaten Charlotte twice. Therefore, mm-hmm. Carmella is better than Asuka.
Yes, correct. After that, we had a cast interview where he talked about going to an amusement park and somehow.
Yeah, he had a paid appearance.
Yeah, they paid like $25,000.
He stole the sign. He said he took a souvenir.
A little weird.
I think he took it.
Did they take that out of his $25,000?
I think they probably did after the fact, and they realized it was missing, and maybe just put it together.
That thing probably cost a couple $1,000s.
Well, no, I don't think it was that much.
You don't think so?
No, because it looked like it was just a vinyl banner with a stand behind it. It wasn't made of wood or anything.
Really. Oh, okay. All right.
Anyways, cool. But it's a sign that says, you know, hey, you have to be this minimum height to do this roller coaster.
Yeah.
And so without that sign, that could be a public safety issue if they let people on this ride who wouldn't meet the minimum height requirement. It poses a danger.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, so that's actually hugely irresponsible of Cass to take that sign.
He's a heel, man. He doesn't
understand
care
that.
If like, there's little
he
tiny...
took this sign just to prove a point that he's been hammering home for the last month and a half.
I'm pretty sure Daniel Bryan is tall enough to get on a roller coaster.
Yeah, because that was like 4 feet.
Yeah.
And he's, what, 5'8", 5'10"?
5'10", yeah, something like that. So I'm pretty sure he's good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess I take his point. He was just sort of making fun of stuff. But I agree with you. Public safety hazard. I mean, you don't want some little tiny... You don't want to put a 3-year-old on a roller coaster like that.
Get tossed off.
Tossed. Ooh, terrifying.
That's horrifying. Don't want that to happen.
I don't like amusement parks, man.
I'm not that huge on them either.
No.
I've never been a roller coaster guy.
Me neither.
I got a problem with heights.
Give me a couch.
Well, here's the thing.
Or a teacup ride.
Nah, I feel like this makes me nauseous. Here's the thing. Here's the thing with roller coasters. If I have floor under me... Like if I'm seated in some sort of cart that has a floor, like I rest my feet on, I'm generally okay. But if any sort of thing where my feet are hanging off the chair, heck no.
Yeah.
There was this one ride at Magic Mountain down in L.A.
Oh, no.
Where that's the case. Your legs are just hanging off your chair, plus your chair spins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super high.
Oh, yeah.
And I did it, and I'm surprised I didn't rip the little handles off the neck support because I was petrified.
Terrifying.
That's and I want to get off there is... Literally, like as soon as it started going up, I said, no.
I got on the
I made a terrible mistake.
I got on the Gravitron once, and that's the one where you...
Yeah, you spin around, yeah.
You spin around and like, you know, the...
Centrifugal force.
Centrifugal force. Centrifugal?
I don't know.
It keeps your back.
You spin the circle, you're pushed to the outside of the circle.
Exactly. Yes. But then there's like vomit outside. Then we get in, we got out, some other dude. It just serves to make you sick. It's not even exciting.
I don't understand the appeal
of
that.
At least with a roller coaster, it's like, oh, cool. Yeah. No, I'm not even into it. I just always feel like I'm going to die doing that. I feel the same way about planes these days. I get on a plane, I just think it's going to die. That's what happens when you're like a family. You just think, oh, God, I'm going to die. My family's going to be alone.
Well, I don't. It's partially that, and I think as you get older, you come to understand your own mortality.
Anyways, that's, next up, we had the main event. It was Becky, Charlotte, Lana, or CJ, Naomi, and Asuka versus Mandy Rose.
Julian Morris had bet Larson could rip them off now. He's jacked.
Vascularity. Sonya Deville, Iconics, and Carmella.
This is a fun match, especially after the second commercial break.
Yeah,
this started with like 15 minutes left in the show, and there's two commercial breaks during the match.
Jeez. And they're like long.
I know.
They're like all super long.
But the latter half of it was actually a lot of fun.
It was good.
Broke down to a brawl. Charlotte hit a moonsault on everybody outside.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, and the finishing segment sequence that led to Carmella getting the Asuka lock was really good. Because Asuka like got her, rotated her over into armbar position, then transition into Asuka lock. Is really well done.
There's a really fun sequence with Naomi and Sonya Deville when Naomi was like jumping over her, flipping down, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's a lot of fun. So yeah, no, it was cool. It was fine. Yeah, like you said, Carmella tapped out to the Asuka lock.
So by that math, then Carmella has to win at Money in the Bank.
Carmella's got to win at Money in the Bank. It's not going to be clean though.
No. No.
I mean, we regurgitated the rumor this past Monday.
Oh, but James Ellsworth said he's going to be in China this weekend. He's not going to be in Chicago.
Well, yeah, he can say any number of things.
But the promotion said the same thing.
Give him a couple bucks. They'll say whatever WWE wants him to say. They'll say, we'll make good at another date.
Yeah, I don't know.
He might be there.
I kind of feel like he's more along the lines of...
All you're dealing with is one social media guy.
Ellsworth costing Carmella the title, not helping her win it.
Oh, I don't know. Kayfabe, I think he'd come crawling back no matter what. But I don't know. We'll talk about that on our predictions. I feel like I'm going to be wrong a lot. I'm going to be eating. No, you're going to be eating a lot of Frito burritos.
I don't know if that should be part of the deal.
No?
I had two yesterday, and I'm I'm good for now.
No, it's a lot.
Good.
It's a lot, dude. Anyways, you want to answer some questions?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's see.
Wow, people are giving me a lot of crap for not liking roller coasters. I mean, I get vertigo. Like, if I'm the
I give you a lot of crap for a lot of things, but not liking roller coasters is not going to
like.
Be one
if I'm on the second story of the mall and look over the edge, I get vertigo.
Yeah, I'm not huge on that stuff, dude. It's too dangerous.
The mall's not dangerous, first of all, but looking over the edge, just...
Arden is. That place is a goddamn shooting gallery. Yeah, me living near the posh Roseville.
Yeah,
I live closer to the posh Sunrise.
Well, no one's
that place, you're not going to get shot there.
No one's at Sunrise Mall.
You could get kidnapped, maybe.
There's nobody at Sunrise.
They're closing the Sears there.
That's not surprising.
My mom's going to be out of a job that she hates and never goes to.
Oh, okay. Well, first question, Bronze Grappling Hook. WWE takes everyone out of the Hall of Fame and starts over.
That would be the most Vince thing to do.
We're going to scrap the whole thing.
We're rebooting the Hall of Fame.
Who is the first class to go into the new Hall of Fame? And is there anybody that is currently a Hall of Famer that wouldn't go into the new Hall of Fame? First class would have to be Bruno.
Bruno, Andre.
Austin, Rock.
Rock's not even the current one.
I know.
Yeah, he's not going to go in yet. He hasn't retired technically.
Well, he's pretty much retired. I mean, Kurt Angle's not retired, and he's in the Hall of
Fame. Okay, so yeah, if they rebooted it, and it's like, hey, we're going to bring in the first class Rock would accept, he would be like, okay, cool. Yeah. So Rock, Austin, Bruno, Andre, and then who? Oh, we need
China.
No. They wouldn't do that for the first one. She's pornography. It'd be like Trish Stratus. It'd be like Trish and Lita, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. And then like a tag team. Like the Road Warriors, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So there you go.
Yeah.
It'd be like the top of the line guys. Obviously, they're not going to do
Hogan. Oh, they'd probably put Shawn in there in the first class.
And then who wouldn't end up going in?
Period?
Well, they have the opportunity. Like, I think it'd probably be Abdullah the Butcher wouldn't go in.
Yeah, maybe not. How about Snuka?
Is Billy Graham still the superstar? On bad terms?
I have no idea.
So he's in, though, isn't he? Yeah, because he wanted out because of Abdullah the Butcher. Yeah. So he wouldn't go back in. Snuka probably wouldn't go back in. So, yeah. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, I'm going to read some firsts.
Haven Elric, power rank dream opponents to challenge Jericho for the IWGP Intercontinental title. Yeah, I think Naito might get a rematch at some point.
Given Jericho's new mean streak, it'd be fun to see him and Suzuki, a couple old guys. Mm-hmm. That could be a really fun
match.
That'd
be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
I think in terms of quality of the match, I got to put Kota Ibushi in there. He's the one member of the Golden Elite who doesn't have a title. I mean, like, put the U.S. belt on Kota Ibushi. He'll bring that title up in prestige a lot.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why they even did that. They've got way too many titles.
Yeah, but then they have this one. They put it on Kenny immediately.
Like, what's the point of the trio's title they have?
Yeah, it's hardly ever defended, I feel like.
It's such an afterthought title.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of get the point of the never overweight championship.
Yeah, it's a belt for everybody.
I'm fine with that, I guess.
Put that U.S. title on Kota Ibushi.
Yeah.
Then it's almost, it's basically at the level that it was when Kenny had it.
Yeah, but no, I kind of like it. Put the IC title on Kota. The U.S. title mean nothing. That's a step down for Kota Ibushi.
But
like,
yeah,
Juice is going to defend.
Preferably the Intercontinental title would be great. Imagine if Golden Elite had all the belts.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome. Sonatas, first time question asker. After watching Kenny Omega versus Okada, do you think if AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, do you think AJ Styles and Shinsuke should have a 2 out of 3 falls match if they keep feuding? And how long would you give the match? If it was me, I'd give them as long as they want. But it's the WWE we're talking about.
So it'd they'll be probably like, get like 25 minutes.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. Here's my reason as to why they shouldn't, because it's going to draw comparisons. And it's not going to be the same because it's WWE and they have too many limitations.
They'll probably do something like an Iron Man match instead.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Foster, what wrestlers could you see cashing in the briefcase on one of you and take your spot on the podcast?
Luchando. He got a taste of glory. Wants back in. He's going to cash in on old Steve here.
I'll say Adam Mayhem.
Oh, God. Just shut it down. I would remember that bit in Star Trek when they initiated the self-destruct sequence?
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Oh, okay.
He'd get here and be like, 5, 4, 3.
So I'd hold the little thing up to the
mic. What does this mean?
Get out of there! Get out of there!
Let's see here. Oh, my God.
Mr. Sinister, if Vince gave full permission for AJ and Nakamura to go all out, do you think they could top Okada Omega? No.
No, it's WWE, man. They don't let them wrestle. I mean, I would love to see them try to, you know, accept that challenge.
Yeah.
In terms of within the limitations of the WWE, what they'll let you do,
mm-hmm.
Can you tell a story that's as compelling as we got?
And it would still be really good, Dominion. But I don't know how many wrestlers in the world today could. I mean, it's not that just Okada and Omega are brilliant wrestlers. Their chemistry is
fantastic.
They have
a very special chemistry.
I mean, we've seen AJ and Nakamura in New Japan have a fantastic match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if they could top that in WWE.
Yeah. AJ Fate, Suzuki, Ishii, Lesnar, triple threat match. Who goes over?
Suzuki.
And why? Because he beat Ken Shamrock twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ken what, Shamrock,
was it
at
Shamrock
peak.
Or Severn?
No, Shamrock twice at his peak.
Okay.
Ranch Dressin' Wrestling, sorry. If Money in the Bank existed during the 80s and 90s, who'd be the perfect wrestler to hold the briefcase? I'm not Baron Corbin, says Rick Rude. That's a good answer.
Oh, that is a good answer because he could airbrush it.
Yeah. What about Macho Man?
Ooh, yeah. I feel like Million Dollar Man or IRS.
Yeah.
Because they typically carry briefcase
anyway. It's true. Especially IRS, yeah.
Somebody in the... Crap, what was that faction? The weird one with all the cell phones and laptops and what's
Oh, York Corporation?
York Corporation.
Where Terry Reynolds had the giant
Reynolds,
laptop.
Yeah, that's right. Minnesota Joe. Who should be the constable of SmackDown Live?
Ooh, good question. Ty Dillinger.
Oh, there you go. Oh, man, he ain't doing nothing.
Liam Wagner, am I the only one who worries when Jeff Hardy wears his pendant that he'll accidentally poke himself in the throat? No, I think of that every time. Every time. Woken Minato, who benefits most from winning Money in the Bank, The Miz, or The New Day? Thanks, friendos. Who benefits? New Day. Because you can do Miz Daniel Bryan without Money in the Bank, without a title. You don't need it. I understand your point that it might enhance the feud, but you don't need it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to play devil's advocate and go the other way, but I feel like it'd be really special if the New Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Double J, Joe Jensen. There'd be such an air of like unpredictability. It's like, what does this even mean?
I know.
You know?
I know.
Double J, Joe Jensen. Ain't I great? What happened to Lana's Russian accent? Kayfabe reasons.
Oh.
She's talking American accent. She's trying to expand her acting resume.
Yeah, I was going to say, she just got back from an audition for a movie where, you know, no Russian accent. And she just, you know, she practiced it for weeks and weeks and weeks mm-hmm. and weeks and weeks. And she just left the audition.
Yeah.
And she was still in character.
Yeah. There you go.
Flame Spitter. He's a bit disappointed that Almas versus Sin Cara was nixed.
That's
due
right.
Due to Sin Cara's injury. That is a bummer. Was there any match you were ever looking forward to that was canceled?
Yeah. I mean, Daniel Bryan's entire title runs.
Yeah, that's true.
I was looking forward to. Let's see here.
KZ, what was or is the best music-related gimmick in wrestling? He brings up Elias, Honky Tonk Man, Headbangers, Double J, and so on.
I've never really been into any of them as much as I've been into Elias.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, looking back, they've always been super corny, like really cheesy. It didn't make a lot of sense.
What about the New Day? Because the trombone.
I wouldn't.
It's not.
I get
it's
your
part of their gimmick, but it's not the entirety of it.
When the trombone is as essential to their gimmick as pancakes, I kind of just consider the trombone a comedic element as opposed to a musical element. It's a musical element that serves the comedy.
Yeah. I was just trying to think of someone different than
names listed here. I get you. I mean, there's the Funkasaurus. He danced.
Yeah, but he himself wasn't a musician.
That's true, but he's dancing to the music. I'm not going to put him on any list, but I'm just throwing him out there.
Oh, what was that guy in WCW? Max Payne? Who was like a... He took on, I think, Johnny B. Badd in one of the Going In Raw views we saw.
Johnny B. Badd. Oh. He's supposed to be a Little Richard, right?
I guess. I thought Max Payne came out like carrying a guitar.
Oh, did
like, he was like a metalhead? Like
wasn't Van Hammer? Wasn't he a metal guy?
Oh, initially, yeah. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Wasn't he Max Payne?
I remember Max Payne. Oh,
he was,
I mean,
like,
his
hometown was funny.
Payne, WCW, Man Mountain Rock. Oh yeah, no, there you go. You're right. Oh, dope. He had like a WWF guitar.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, yeah, there's your answer, Max Payne.
All right. Conlin Furneau, would you consider the New Day to be the most successful, greatest comedy act of all time? What are some of the all-time great comedy acts?
DX. They were pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I laughed a lot of Mark Henry's stuff mm-hmm. when he was doing comedy stuff. Mm-hmm. Jericho was like an all-time
comedy
guy.
Oh, yeah. His stuff in WCW is fantastic.
But, like, yeah, it's something special when you can combine comedy and still being legit. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty special. That's where I feel like Elias needs to head into sort of the area of being, like, taken as a legit threat.
Yeah, I know. You start putting some wins together.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Broken Steve. Jeff Hardy is my favorite superstar of all time. Now I know that he got his name out there by being in a tag team with Matt, but what would his ceiling be if he debuted as a single star?
Who, Jeff?
Yeah.
Less. Well, I don't know. It depends. I think the tag team aspect of things, the whole TLC stuff or all the extreme stuff, was like the perfect showcase for them
mm-hmm.
to show off their wrestling skills first. because it's not like his promo skills were going to get him anywhere.
I know.
So I think it probably would have been lower if he didn't debut in a tag team. But on the other hand, I don't know. I guess you can liken him to RVD. RVD was never a big promo guy. People liked him.
Oh, they loved him.
You know. Well, no, I'm talking about like personality wise. Like, oh, cool. I like this guy. He seems relatable.
Oh, yeah.
But like, they loved him because holy crap.
Yeah.
What can this guy do in the ring? It's amazing. So maybe Jeff Hardy could have had the same trajectory. And that's WWE champion.
Lord Scruff. Hey, friendos. First time question here. With the World Cup just one day away, it got me thinking about a World Cup of wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I intentionally didn't answer this because it's really easy. Choose 16 people.
Yeah,
you wanted 32 or 16.
No, 16 from around the world. You'd book for such an event. The promotions they're in doesn't matter. You could choose anyone and everyone. So let's go like in New Japan. Put Okada, Omega, Naito, Osprey.
Zack Sabre Jr.
Zack Sabre Jr. Hiromu Takahashi.
Okay, that's six.
That's six. WWE, okay. You have Seth.
AJ Styles, you
Seth,
do your six.
AJ.
Okay.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah. Bobby Lashley.
All right, Bob Lashley. You can go to NXT, too. Adam Cole, baby. Ricochet.
Yeah. Aleister Black. Candice LeRae.
All right, good. Asuka.
Yeah.
Matt Riddle.
And then Matt Riddle.
Minoru Suzuki.
You're at 6-17 now.
Minoru Suzuki.
You got to ditch one then if you're going to put Suzuki in it.
All right, Matt Riddle.
Oh, I like Matt Riddle.
I do too.
See, but it's a World Cup, so it's probably not going to be here in the state. Doesn't Matt Riddle have an aversion to going overseas?
Wait, what?
He didn't go to Japan.
Who?
Matt Riddle. Oh, but he was the Atlas champion, so he goes to Europe.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, that wasn't that hard. We did put Jeff Cobb in there or Keith Lee.
See,
or Walter.
It is more difficult. Let's go to 32. You see Jeff Cobb calling out Planet Fitness?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, on their logo, he has a good point. It's supposed to be a judgment. Planet Fitness, their whole thing is it's a judgment-free zone. But then they have a picture of, like, a big, giant jack dude with, like, a cross through it. I'm like, what if big jack dudes like to go to Planet Fitness? What if they don't want to be judged?
Mm-hmm.
You know? They need to revise that.
Yeah.
I don't know what picture of anybody they'd show.
Why do they even have to have a picture with the no symbol on
right,
top of it?
Right, yeah. Be inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Or like what's like the name of a person who we know is judgmental? They just put his picture up there. Some prick. I don't know, man. I don't know who you put in there.
GM Spud, who is the best wrestler who won't be in either Money in the Bank match? Well, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles. Let's guess, take
there's
champions.
There's your answers.
Take champions out of
yeah.
it.
Roman Reigns.
Sami Zayn.
Oh, the answer is Jinder Mahal.
Oh, yeah.
He got robbed. The best wrestler not to be Money in the Bank is Kazuchika Okada.
Kenny Omega.
George Hackenschmidt.
KZ, what the hell was the Money in the Bank promo in the middle of the main event? Did they just forget to add it to a regular commercial break? They did that twice during SmackDown.
Oh, I know.
And they did it during Raw. That's their new thing. They'll advertise WWE programming during WWE programming.
Wait, put that in a little tiny box.
I know.
Don't put the live action in a tiny box. Man.
I know.
Chuck the Bipartisan Gamer Sips. Am I the only one creeped out by Corey Graves' fascination with Mandy Rose? We get it, dude. She's beautiful. That's a good point, actually.
Zach Sigmund, he wants to clarify his Okada statement. He is an Okada fan.
Oh.
And he's aware of his amazing storytelling abilities. He just made an observation regarding the actual moves that he does aren't that spectacular. That's a fair point.
Hey, man. No, it's okay. Keep it real. You want to hate Okada? Hate Okada.
Oh, my goodness.
It's totally odd. Look, man, it's wrestling. And like, we got a tweeter. We got a tweet yesterday from – hold on. I'm going to say his name because I want to make this point here. I want to illustrate this point.
Anyways, I'll finish reading this question.
Very good.
He says, and fun fact, Okada and Zach share the same birthday, November 8th. He wants us to power rank top five superstars who you look forward to when they cut a promo. Kevin Owens.
Oh, Kevin Owens.
Samoa
Man, he's
Joe.
So good.
Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe are 1 and 2.
Yeah.
In WWE.
Yeah.
Velveteen Dream.
Mm-hmm. It's weird.
What do you got?
Why is it like it's not showing me the tweets that I've tweeted back at people?
It's oh, weird. Replies?
I think it'd be in replies. But
yeah, it should
see.
Be.
Yeah, I don't see it anywhere.
Did it not go through?
It's possible. It's always possible.
Steve Klein, hey, Fred Knows, when Ambrose comes back, will you like them to feud with Eric Young and then eventually join Sanity?
Oh, here we go. Ryan F. said, why are you guys so high on Kevin Owens? He thinks he's stale and annoying. I said, we just don't think he's stale and annoying.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's okay. You can find him stale and annoying.
Yeah, and it's wrestling. we could find him endlessly fascinating.
And then we can share a beer together and have good times still.
Yeah.
It's wrestling.
Would you like to do trivia, Steve?
We're all friendos here. Of course I want to do trivia.
All right, I'm going to go first. Favorite look time at my of the card. Week. Naomi is the wife of which Samoan wrestler?
Jimmy Uso?
Yes.
That's a 50-50 chance. Who was the first NXT women's champion?
Oh, Paige.
Very good.
Which wrestler was known for choking his opponents out with a mandible claw?
Mankind. Who are the only four people to have held the $1 million belt?
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
I guess it'd be DiBiase.
Good.
Andre.
No.
Oh, really? Well, it's DiBiase.
Yes.
Ringmaster.
Yes.
Virgil.
Yes. Uno Mas.
I mean, I already said Andre, so I mean, that was an answer.
It's not Andre, but I'll give you another opportunity because I'm a nice guy. I'll give you a hint, kind of a trick question. DiBiase's kid.
Oh.
He held it much later. Brought it back.
Well, I did say DiBiase. I didn't say which one.
Well, you didn't say two DiBiases.
Oh, true. Okay. Which wrestler appeared in the Simpsons episode, The Old Man and the Lisa?
I'd say Bret.
Yeah.
Bret Hart.
Well, you know.
Oh, you know, Lisa. Number three, superstar bio.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, dude. What was the name of MVP's in-ring interview segment? Had no idea he did one.
Oh, my God.
This is like the ultimate in when Steve wasn't watching.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the highlight reel because that's Jericho's.
You're correct about that.
I have no idea.
It's the VIP lounge.
Oh. It seems like he's mixing his gimmicks.
Yes.
At which WWE event did lights go out midway through the show?
I mean, anytime Bray Wyatt comes out.
Well, this is, you know.
Lights actually went out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mania 13?
In Your House 8.
Oh, okay.
Someone didn't pay the power bill.
I guess so. Alongside Mil Mascaris and El Santo, who is the third of Lucha Libre's big three?
Is that the Blue Demon?
Very good. Look at you.
Who is the first man to win the best?
Say Lince Dorado.
Who is the first man to win the best of the Super Juniors tournament twice?
Jushin Thunder Liger.
Mm-hmm.
In which country was Nikolai Volkov born?
America.
No, I'm gonna. It's not as much of a trick question as you think it'd be. So I'll let you go again.
Oh,
but it's not an obvious one.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming he wasn't actually born in the Soviet Union.
That is, well, I don't know. Is Croatia in the Soviet Union?
No,
it's Croatia.
Oh, okay. In which state was Jim Ross born?
Oklahoma.
California.
Oh shit! Really? What part? Which California? Know. There's three of them now.
Well, I guess it says California. It's be the one with Los Angeles in it.
Oh, it's the one on the side. Yes. Okay. Taz to go. This might be a John Cena question, but maybe not. Taz declared himself ECW FTW champion at which event? I got four.
Is it like December to December 98?
I had never known that this was a thing.
Well, I got the year right at least.
It was a pay-per-view event called It Ain't Seinfeld.
Had no idea.
You learn something new every single day. Oh, it ain't sound. Oh, okay. It was held on the same day of the final episode of Seinfeld.
Oh, gotcha.
It was in an Elks Lodge in Elmhurst, Queens, New York. Probably very sweaty.
Well, I got two.
I got four. I get two things, but I don't really have any
prizes
over here. We're going to do chat trivia for the patrons here.
Yeah, I got the card right here.
Ooh, may I see it real quick?
No.
What the hell?
It's rude.
I'm going to guess how many, like, they're going to have problems with.
All right.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Anyways, they're going to have a hell of a time. Get your Google loaded up and your Wikipedia loaded up, people.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it for show. Hilton. Hilton, wake up.
Play the music.
Hey, can you play the music, man? What's he doing over there? I know what you're doing. Anyways, that's it for show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Be sure to share the episode with your friends. Subscribe to the show.
Yeah, all that good
stuff.
And
then be on CastBox and leave us a comment. On the road to 1,000.
1,000.
Yeah, anyways. Thanks for watching. It's the only time I talk to
you. Bye.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.